I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
TMS is brought to you daily by the support of our patrons at patreon.com/TMS, like Tony Kashen, Sophie McNally, and Julie Nacko. Coming up on TMS, stay Hebrew national.
You can do it in a Henley.
Don't trust the T in 1773.
I only get it for the naked cats.
We can do zip shit.
Mom's 127 ribs story.
No teeny little beef sticks.
Drinking the Metzen juice.
Your flag is armed and dangerous.
Bismuth adjacent.
Steak on bacon.
Hanky pank yourself.
Ad block for life.
85-year-olds should neither scoot nor climb furniture.
Set your air fryer to nuggets.
Crisis on infinite major spoilers and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
If someone asks you to make them a cup of coffee or tea, make them a terrible one. That way, they'll never ask you again.
But the chick has still not eaten.
The Morning Stream. What do you say? We get nipple to nipple.
Good morning and welcome to TMS. Hello, everybody. It is Monday, November 6th, 2023. I'm Scott Johnson with Brian Ibbett. Hi, Brian Ibbett.
Hello, Scott. Election day tomorrow.
Oh, for, yeah. For it is. It's all smaller stuff, right? Like no big national hingy stuff.
No.
That's good. Right? We don't want hingy stuff right now.
We don't want hingy stuff. We don't want stuff that is like, oh my God, this is going to totally F up the country. No, this is the stuff that just totally Fs up your little district.
Yeah, your local community in your town. Exactly. Yeah. But we'll look forward to next year's insane. No, we don't. I don't look forward to it at all. I don't want it to happen. I want to ignore the whole thing. Next year's whole thing. The entire lead up, I'm going to turn it off. I have to turn it off.
I know. It's like I almost want to just give me my ballot. Let me fill it out. But for everything else, give me an ostrich hole I can just bury my head in.
Yeah, I'm going to try to do it. I'm going to try to be as ignorant as possible. Problem is, I'm a functioning person in society that intakes information. And it's going to be impossible not to hear something. But I really, really do. I made the mistake last time of being very focused on it. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do that this time. All right? I'm done.
It's too much. It's just too stressful. It just hurts your psyche, right? To like.
Well, what's worse is like you and I mm-hmm. can do zip shit about anything. You know what I mean?
Sure.
There's nothing we can do to affect any of it. So all the outrage farming and stuff that's going to happen, it needs to fall on my deaf ears because what can I do? I can't do anything.
I can put a bumper sticker on my car. That'll at least change like 50 people's minds because they'll see that bumper sticker and say, oh, yeah, that's a really good point. I think I'll vote for the other
guy. Yeah. Lots of minds are turned by bumper stickers. That's true.
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes.
Oh, that's good use of the colors red and blue. I like that. Okay, I'm going to vote for that person.
Yeah, I've completely flipped my opinion. That's the other thing is I feel like all those things do is just, you know, people just dig in.
Yes.
And so I'll vote and then I'm done. You guys, that's my part. I've done my part. My other part is I pay taxes. I try to, you know, live a lawful life. You know, I take care of my shit. What else can I do?
That's all we can do. And you got to think, you gotta act locally and hope it spreads to globally.
There you go. That's what you want. Or at least nationally. Globally would be hard.
Globally is pretty tough. All right, national. Let's stay national.
We'll stay national? All right.
Let's achieve that first impossible milestone before we go to the next.
You've convinced me. I'm going to get a Hebrew national hot dog today.
There you go. Good. Excellent.
My nationalism will show up big time as I eat that hot dog.
Wrap a tortilla around that business. Stick it in the air fryer. A little with some Pam.
Dude, I might do it.
Crispy fried dogarito.
I might do it. I'm not saying I won't. All right, I got a thing I must share. I was so excited about this. I don't know why I was so excited. Okay, so my mom fell, kind of a gnarly fall the other day.
And John was like, shake it off.
I didn't sign up for this. Rah, you know, this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
He's such a crank. But she fell on some furniture, like a little table, like a little coffee table type thing. Mm-hmm. In this area where they have a TV and couches and stuff. She was getting up to go to bed. John had already gone to bed. He's on some pain medications for a carpal tunnel surgery he had, because this is their entire life now, is to have old people stuff done to them.
Right.
And those are making him real sleepy. So he's out. My mom's not tired yet. So she's up and she's like watching her shows, you know, or whatever she's doing. Mm-hmm. And it's like 10 o'clock. So she's like, all right, it's time for bed. She gets up from the couch very slowly, because again, she's 85. Takes her remote, boop, turns off the TV, starts to walk out of there, trips on something, and then fell and hit her ribs on the side of this table. They're just cracked. There's a small crack, and there's really nothing they can do except try to heal and all that. And she's fine. She's doing great. But we thought, you know what, Kim, let's go see her on Sunday. We'll just hang out for a few hours and, you know, take her some tacos. She loves tacos. So we did that. And as you do, you're sitting around, you're telling stories or whatever. And she starts to tell this story about how she fell. But then it started to have some weird twist to it. So I very quickly, but also nonchalantly, pulled my phone out and hit record. Okay. Because I had to record this.
Yes.
And so just to give you a little bit of setup, she was telling the story about how she hurt her rib.
Okay.
And so we jump in a little bit story in progress.
Sure, sure. Took you a second to get the
exactly.
The phone out.
Yeah. And so the stuff she said prior to me pulling it out, she gets to in this chat with her. So I'll just play it and then I'll explain. This is kind of amazing. I hope everyone enjoys it. Here you go.
And I tried to climb up that table. So I scooted myself, you know. Then the remote was laying here on the couch.
Yeah.
And I thought, if I can just get to that and then turn it up.
So oh, you were going to you were gonna turn it up so to wake him up. I thought you meant like, well, if I'm going to be here, I may as well get my shows in.
No, I tell you, I wasn't thinking of shows. Oh, that's why I thought about the guy with the...
The guy who cut his arm off.
27 hours? 27 hours.
No, it's 24, 27 days.
I don't know how many.
It was a long time. Yeah. Maybe it was his hours. But you could make it through that many hours.
It was 24 days. Oh, no.
All right. Now it's important to note here. Well, I'll resume.
See where you get it.
Yeah.
Where you get it.
So there's a two pronged lesson here. I totally get that stuff from my family. Wendy does it. My mom does it. We all do it.
Yeah.
But she started to tell the story that when she fell. And that's why she's bringing up the 127 hours, whatever the hell that was called. What was that called?
Yeah, it's 127 hours.
Okay,
yes.
So we thought it was 27, and we couldn't get it in our head straight.
Yeah, 27 days would be dead.
Yeah,
from dehydration.
John's over there going, 28 weeks. It's 28 weeks is the movie. 28 weeks. I'm like, no. You're thinking of a whole wrong thing. Plus, there's no way you've ever seen 28 weeks later. But anyway, so we're sitting there. And her whole point was she thought of him because she thought, well, if he can do it, if he can do that.
For 127 hours, she can certainly do it for however long.
Certainly she can climb over to the thing and get the remote, turn up the TV and wake John up. That was her thinking. So I'll let her finish.
They made a movie. You gotta cut off. Yeah, why'd you think of him? Just because he was stranded?
Because I thought, what can I do to help myself out of this predicament? I'm not going to lay. I didn't want to lay here till you got up, until who knows.
But you weren't going to have to cut off your own arm ever.
No, I wasn't. But I thought of that guy, and I thought, okay, if he was brave enough to do that, I've got to be brave enough to get on my knees.
Anyway, aww, it's kind of cute.
So sweet.
Yeah, yeah. It's a funny thing to think of, but it also it makes sense because it happened here. It was in Moab. Mm-hmm. So halfway to you, basically.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Where that original incident took place. And for whatever reason, she found strength in that, crawled over to the couch, figured out a way to get the remote, turned the TV way up. He woke up, came and got her.
So that worked. Wow. That's great.
Got the job done. But anyway, she's always she's so funny. She's always telling me how, oh, I don't remember anything anymore. I'm this and I'm that. She's always talking about how she can't remember anything. Dude, she's sharp as a tack. She remembers everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's full, crap. I mean, she remembers a movie, a freaking James Franco movie.
James Franco. Yeah.
Yeah. Like she's way, way more on top than she thinks. So is John for that matter. But he's also very cranky. And at one point she tells the story. I didn't record this part, but he goes, Scott, when I married her, you guys didn't tell me I was going to have to take care of her so much. And I went, oh, geez. John, I know you're kidding, but come on, dude, you freaking, you don't have to be like that.
See, with the right family member, though, you'd instantly know that was like a joke. You'd laugh it off, but
no, he's not with John. Yeah.
You know, with John, he's like, he's ingrained like so much between the two of you. That's like, part of me is joking, but there might be a small part of me that's telling the truth.
Yeah. He's got grievances is what that guy's got. And he likes to share them with everybody. I just noticed you and I are wearing the same shirt today almost.
I know. It's like we're rooting for the, even the same, look at that. It's even a Henley.
Henley. Yeah. I got a Henley over at the Costco for like $10.
Did you?
Yeah.
Down to the Costco. I've turned you on to Henleys.
Yeah. Suddenly Henleys are everywhere and they're on sale. So I don't know what's going on, but it's a year for the Henley at the moment, I guess.
It is. My favorite kind of shirt.
Pretty wild.
I like the button. I like the lack of collar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's just kind of hangs there, you know, and you can roll your sleeves up or not, you know?
Yeah.
Whatever you need to have done, you can do it in a Henley.
Wow. It's almost like that should be the slogan. Yeah. Whatever you need to do, do it in a Henley.
That's right. Also, hey, look at this. So Brian wasn't supposed to get these. And by the way, I found out the entire core crew got them.
Oh, really?
Everybody but Dunaway. We'll talk to him when he comes in. But everybody but Dunaway got boxes of these things called chomps. These
beef sticks.
Yeah. I guess we'll check in with him, make sure he still didn't get them. But they're like these no sugar beef stick things. And they're pretty good. They're, you know, Slim Jims with better stuff in them. Anyway.
They're decent size, too. They are no... they are no teeny little beef stick.
Yeah, and I'm glad that somehow they accidentally just used the entire mailing list that I provided over the years. Because this is just for Play Retro, but everybody's getting them. So enjoy your beef sticks, everyone.
That's great. Oh, totally loving them. Yeah.
I ate two of them yesterday and shouldn't have, probably. Mm. All right. Speaking of things, I played 5 hours of WoW on Sunday. I resubbed and played 5 hours. I don't know why. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, I don't know what could have inspired you to do that. Huh?
Yeah, it's weird. Really weird.
Yeah.
What's funny is... I can't say that. What's funny is... I'll say it this way. I knew some things leading up to this, and even I was like, oh, damn it, game. You're making me want to play you right now. What are you doing? Mm-hmm. So I got in and I played a ton. And it turns out when I unsubbed last year, I had burned through all of the available sort of story content and quest content and leveling content for Dragonflight. Why does that sound wrong?
Yeah, I think it's Dragonflight, isn't it?
Hold on. Dragon. Oh my gosh, what is wrong with my brain? Anyway, I did that.
Yeah.
And then I unsubbed. And I thought, well, it's all endgame stuff. I'm not going to raid. I don't care that much. I'll just not. It's no big deal. So, but in the meantime, they've had these huge single-player content drops. Not single-player, but like stuff you can do solo if you want.
Right. Additional.
It's a ton of new stuff. There's like a whole underground zone with a cave and
really?
These weird little mole creatures that sound like Fargo characters. I can't even explain it.
Oh, yeah. That's the new allied race, right?
Yeah. The little chipmunk-looking things. And anyway, I got really into it. Stupid WoW. Freaking gosh dang it. What way to go, Chris Metzen. You did it. Nice. You got on stage. I'll bet you money there's a chart at that company today. That shows
resub number. Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be interesting to see. Like at what time, what was going on stage when people said, all right, they got me. I'm back in.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what the moment was. For me, it was probably I don't know. Chris, for all his humbleness, because he kind of hates this part of the job.
Sure.
He's so good at this. He gets on that stage and immediately commands everybody's attention. There's also the history of it. He was already kind of a rock star there. His triumphant return. That story, in a lot of ways, is a story of Blizzard. At some point, Anduin says to the in that awesome cinematic, he says, "I have no light left in me. After the things I've seen, after the things I've done," he's all upset. Mm-hmm. Sounds like Blizzard to me.
Kind of a little. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Mike, we're trying to get a little redemption going.
Yeah, maybe.
Anyway, I don't even know if he does that on purpose or not, but that stuff always comes through in his work, and I love that. But it was just so... We are lucky that he's not in charge of some cult, because you'd all be drinking the Kool-Aid.
We'd all be drinking the Metzen juice.
Yeah.
It's like...
We'd be laying dead on top of each other with the promise we'd all be going to the rapture or whatever, but it'd be a big lie because he's that charismatic.
Matching Adidas or whatever.
Yeah. His charisma score is off the damn charts. And it's embarrassing. Yeah. But anyway, I ended up in there and played a lot. And
that's cool. Yeah, I'm on the fence. I mean, I'd like to. It's easy for me to look over at Spider-Man and say, yep, I'm only 15% into this game. I'm going to keep going. And then after that, I'll look at jumping back into WoW. The thing that makes me want to do it is getting back into the raid team with Bobby and Alex and a few other folks.
Sure, yeah.
Or the raid team with... oh my God, Tatsemi and why am I forgetting everybody's names? Jeez.
It was a lot of people and it was a while ago. But they're all, as far as I know, none of them are, well, not none of them. A bunch of them aren't playing anymore, but maybe a bunch will get back in, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. The big social experience continues.
See what happens.
I know what'll happen next. Dunaway will join us. That's what'll happen.
Ooh, I like that. That's a good thing that's happening.
I agree.
This'll get some energy, some game show host energy up in me here.
That's what you need. Because you've been up since
I'm 4:30 a.m. groggy is what I mean.
You know what we should do for Brian, someone who already is a little tired in the morning. Or gets up too early as it is. Let's go ahead and put the clocks back an hour so that he has to do another hour.
Totally. And just in case you think you're going to get some sleep, how about a cat that whose stomach says, it's 6 o'clock, I need to be fed, when it's just five.
What does she do? Like, meow, meow, like clawing at the door kind of stuff?
Yeah. Mm. Oh, yeah, just meowing. She's in the room. She's on the bed.
Yeah.
Meow, meow, yeah. Meow.
Cats,
she's a chatty one.
Cats are dicks, but they're great too. We love them.
Yes.
Speaking of dicks, and then we love them too, we got Brian Dunaway joining us. Here's his music. Hey, you guys, let's play a little bit of the old half asses on the Monday. Hello, Brian. How are you?
Oh, hi, Scott and Brian.
Hi.
Gosh, hello.
It feels like I just talked to you guys yesterday.
Gosh, it does.
Yeah, we did do Film Sec yesterday. That was a fun little roundtable.
Yeah, we did. It was amazing. We did one of our special episodes where we talked about directors, hits and misses.
Hits and misses, baby. And, of course, Brian talked about
Spielberg. That's how you go to jail, if you talk about your hits and misses. You don't hit your misses.
Never hit your misses. But listen to this, though. You... Unless it's consensual and it's some kind of sex thing. Do whatever you want. But I was going to say this. I forgot now. Oh, you were going after Spielberg a little bit. So that made you the only person on the panel who was objectively wrong about the movie you thought was bad. You were the only one.
Only person who was wrong.
Yeah. I don't know how that feels, but I can imagine how it might feel to be that wrong about a thing.
It feels good to be so right that you can even recognize it. That's how it feels. That's an amazing feeling.
Wow. All right. Well, I'm glad to hear it. Hey, what do you think about some half asses today? What do you think of that? You want to do that? I think that'd be great.
I'm kind of into it.
Yeah,
I'm
you're into it.
You better get into it because I've got all this stuff ready to go.
Oh shit. Well, we can't leave.
Let's
Brian
do it then. In that case, I'm all in.
Yeah. What do you got, Brian? Let's do it.
All right. Welcome to the morning. Half Asses, a trivia game where I'm actually going to be giving the two of you the answers. I'm going to give Scott and Brian a category and six possible answers. Three of those answers are correct, and three of them are, like Minority Report's, or Brian's opinion on Minority Report, completely wrong. Depending on how confident you feel with the category, you can provide one, two, or three guesses, but if any of those guesses are wrong, you get 0 points for that round. Get one right, get a point. Get two right, gets you 3 points. Get all three correct, you get 5 points, but you need... a bunch of points to win. The player with the most points after three rounds wins the prize for their contestant, and I've pulled a couple of contestants from members of the Tadpool that aren't able to be here live. Scott, you're playing for Luis Loyo, or Louis Loyo, in Seattle.
Nice.
Brian, you're playing for Kelly in Atlanta.
Ooh.
Oh, hi, Kelly. Just right across the border there. Excellent.
Pretty much. Mm-hmm. Yep. You can wave to her. Are you waving? I hope you're waving to Kelly.
Hey, Kelly. Is it Kelly for sure, boy or girl? Kelly's way name. Oh, hi, Kelly.
Hi, Kelly. I hope you are okay. See, you can say that.
Kelly. What was that? Was that the one from Cheers?
That was Woody Harrelson. Yes, exactly.
Oh, my
God. K-E-L-L-Y. Why? Because you're Kelly.
I forgot all about that. That's a great moment in Cheers history.
I don't want to take away his butter-headed toe ball. All right, let's get to the game here. Speaking of weird things that you find on national flags, here are some weird things you find on national flags. Which of these three are really something weird you'll find on that country's national
wait,
flag?
Wait. If you ask it a third time, maybe we'll know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Do maybe.
It.
Bees
maybe.
Have come out. Yeah.
All right. Belize, does it have a cricket bat? Moldova, does it have an asteroid? Palau, does it have a dead butterfly? Fiji, does it have a lion holding a coconut? Grenada or Grenada, does it have a clove of nutmeg? And Mozambique, does it have a machine gun? Three of those are something you will actually find on those flags.
Three of these things are total lies now.
Yep.
Exactly.
I hope that last one's not right. I don't want that gun one to be
right. I'm the worst with flags, mm-hmm. So I'm going to just be stabbing at the screen here.
Sure.
I can't believe any of these are correct. They're all insane.
They're all insane, aren't they?
I'll do one because I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
Oh, you're doing one?
Yeah.
You've showed your hand. I'm also going to do one.
Uh-huh.
It sounds so insane. I'm going to go with Mozambique. Why not?
Okay.
Oh, okay. Why don't you just tell me the answer you're going with? Well, I'm happy to tell you that Fiji does actually have on their flag a picture of a lion holding a coconut.
Good job, Scott. You're getting this one.
Yeah.
Grenada does have a clove of nutmeg. Woo! And Mozambique does have a machine gun. You guys picked two of the correct ones. Yeah, no dead butterfly on the Palau flag, no asteroid on the Moldova flag, and no cricket bat on Belize.
What is going on with a machine gun on your flag? That just seems like you've locked yourself into a real problem, you know?
I think there are like six countries that have weapons of some sort on their flags, whether they're guns, knives, or...
Is their equivalent of don't tread on me.
Kind of. Yeah, exactly.
I don't like it. It's bugs me. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Going into round two, you guys each have a point. I like it. No shutout this time. Question number two. Elements that are liquids around room temperature. So these are things you'll find on the periodic table. And when they're at room temperature, they are a liquid. Your choices are francium, bromine, indium, mercury, iodine, and bismuth.
Oh.
I'm trying to remember if it's bromine or bromine. Bromine?
Bromine?
Bromine. Hello,
bromine.
Bromine.
Bromine. Bromine.
Bromine. Bromine. Bobo. All right, let's see. Elements that are liquids. So, I mean, technically some of these
there's
are metals.
There's a couple of them that are kind of tricky because there's actually a... Okay.
There's some metals in here. Not all of them, but some of them are metals.
Well, I'm not sure if like it's like
still liquid.
I've used some stuff, and I'm like, is it pure this?
Mm-hmm.
So otherwise,
I'm gonna go with two.
Okay,
because I don't know.
Since Scott went with two, I'm gonna foolishly go with two as well.
Okay. Well, the two you went with, you both did pick mercury, which absolutely is correct. Yeah, mercury at room temperature is a liquid. We all know that because we all played with it as a kid. We broke open a thermometer.
That's a bad idea.
And messed with it. And then we found out we're not supposed to touch mercury.
Yeah. That's a bad move.
Iodine in its pure form.
Yeah, that's what I was afraid of. Liquid iodine.
Yeah. Iodine melts at 237 degrees Fahrenheit. Indium melts at 314 degrees Fahrenheit. Francium and bromine, or bromine, are your other two elements that are liquids on.
What's up, bromine?
I thought bismuth was. I think I conflated it with Pepto-Bismol, which also is a liquid.
Oh, well, Pepto-Bismol, it is made from bismuth.
Yeah, it's got bismuth in it, but it doesn't. We're talking, it's the purity problem, right? It's in pure bismuth
well,
form.
Well, Scott, yeah, exactly.
How hot for
iodine,
bismuth?
I was trying to...
How hot to melt bismuth? What's the...
Bismuth is...
That's none of your bismuth, Scott. None of your bismuth at all.
521 degrees Fahrenheit. You have to really crank up the heat to turn bismuth.
You have to really want that stuff to be liquid. Yeah. You better really want it.
Exactly. All right, let's get to the last question. Let's look at celebrities, Hollywood celebrities and marriages. Which of the following people have been married four or more times? Your choices are Martin Scorsese.
More.
Julia Roberts, Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, Richard Burton, and Marilyn Monroe. Mr. President. Mr. Happy Birthday.
Happy birthday.
Just kidding.
Let's see.
Three of these people have been married four or more times.
Three of these people have been married lots of times.
I think they've all been married a couple times at least, but some of these are more than others, I think. I'm locked in. I'm not telling you how many I chose.
Are you locked in?
Because you keep waiting to hear how many I did, and then you...
Because I'm smart. Smart.
Yeah, you're smart. I am also.
I feel
smart.
Like I'm doing something foolish. I'm going with two Martins.
Okay, I'll look at you, Martin Monroe and Frank Sumantra.
Sumantra.
Well, here we go. Martin Scorsese, dude's been married five times.
Like a million times. I knew that
shit.
One.
I did not.
Nobody
know that.
Chose Julia Roberts. She's been married two times. Nobody chose Marilyn Monroe. She's been married three times. The
she
ones you chose,
married,
though.
She wasn't around long enough. Yeah,
she wasn't around long enough to marry. Frank Sinatra, Richard Burton, and Martin Scorsese are your answers. Scott.
Look at that. Okay. I took it.
Tore it from your Scott hands. I tore the win straight from your hands. I feel pretty good.
Yeah, Richard Burton four times. Frank Sinatra four times.
Yeah, I knew Sinatra. He was the only one I was positive about. How many times was Dean Martin married?
Three.
Okay.
I knew one of these crooners had been done it up a couple of times. Yeah. I knew
only the last one was Amore.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, Amore.
It's like a pizza pie in your eye or whatever.
Yes, that's right. Exactly. So
a pizza pie in your eye.
Luis Loyo in Seattle, you are getting a copy of Cats in Time and Arietta of Spirits, courtesy of our friend Norm. Thank you, Norm, for the Steam games.
Tom.
But hey, don't worry, Kelly in Atlanta, you're not going away empty-handed. You didn't even show up, so you're not even really going away, technically. Mm-hmm. But you're getting a copy of Rebel Galaxy, also courtesy.
Well, I'd argue that's a better game. You're a winner. Sorry, Scott.
Rebel Galaxy. I just don't know the other two. I'm sure they're fine. Mm-hmm. But Rebel Galaxy is a pretty rad game. Rebel Galaxy 2, pretty good as well. But you'll find lots of fun space time in your future. Congratulations.
Fun space time.
Brian, you get this. I get this.
Congratulations. You're a winner.
Congratulations, everybody involved. Dunaway, we're going to do this again, but in a just slightly different way. On Wednesday, will you be prepared then to face me, your challenger, and try to win yet again?
Oh, am I supposed to be worried?
Intimidated,
wow,
perhaps?
Wow, this is the worst heckling, worst taunting I think I've ever seen.
Yeah, it isn't working very well. I'm not going to do it anymore. Kiss our butts. All right, he's gone. He can't even reply to my kiss my butts now. All right, congratulations, everybody involved. That was super fun, as always.
Getting these emails together, so... if you have not received it by the time you hear this episode, by golly, let me know.
Yeah, let Brian know. Now, the news. It's time for the news, brought to you by
Air-Fried Kimchi Nuggets.
Now, before you judge me, let me explain.
There's no judging, but please continue.
Okay, you might actually like this then. So what I did, I got some air-fried nuggets, or just a bag of the ones you get at Costco, right?
The chicken. Okay, gotcha.
Chicken nuggets. Mm-hmm. And then each one, you put them all out on that little tray. And then each one you put just a little bit of kimchi on top. Now, normally you might say, well, we'll cook them first, then the kimchi, because it's like a kind of a good contrast to have it be cold versus the heat.
Have the hot food with the cool kimchi on top. Sure.
And I understand that, and that totally does work great. And I'm not saying you shouldn't do that too. But I put these on, just a little dollop on there of a little bit of kimchi on top of each one of these.
Yeah.
Put it in there on whatever the nugget setting was. They were so freaking good. Mm. They even crisped up the edges of the kimchi. I thought I was in heaven, dude. Yes. For real.
That sounds amazing. That sounds really good. Yeah. Do you have first watch diners or restaurants in Utah?
I don't know. Maybe. Let's see.
I feel like we've talked about this place before, but they are a breakfast place that's a little bit more upscale than your Denny's, Village Inn kind of thing. Mm-hmm. They have seasonal menus. So four times a year they have like five new breakfast entrees that they introduce. And this last weekend, Friday, was the launch of their winter menu. And they introduced something called the Sunny Seoul Hash. Seoul is in Seoul, Korea.
I'm looking at it. And it's like, it looks so good.
Potatoes and onions and then a couple fried eggs on top and kimchi all over.
Holy Moses, dude. Look at this thing. I got it on their website.
It's so damn good.
Beautiful. Yeah. Oh, they're in St. George. Next time I'm in St. George, I'm going.
There you go.
It's five hours to go there, but why won't this get down?
At least you have an option. Like, unlike some of the places that we talk about that don't have locations outside Colorado, or for me, outside of Utah. At least you've got some options now.
We got something. This looks amazing. Wow,
it's really really good. They've also got a cinnamon chip pancake. Tina had the steak and bacon breakfast burrito. Steak and bacon. It's hard to say. Steak and bacon. Yeah,
it's fun to say though, isn't it?
Was also really good.
What a great URL to first watch. It does want to force you to put in your zip first. I hate that too. It's like, let me browse first.
And all I can think of, they're in Alpharetta, Georgia, Smyrna, Snellville. It's all over Georgia.
Weird. Maybe they started there.
Maybe.
Yeah. Well, their website's being funky. Oh, well. I was going to show people these amazing dishes, but then it got weird.
I wonder if it's called First Watch is like, all right, eat your breakfast because you're on First Watch. You got to keep an eye out for the enemy and wake me up if you see him coming over the hill.
What was the show that was on? Oh, that's Third Watch. That was different.
Third Watch.
Yeah. They had the Pink Ranger from
Yeah.
Right. I used to have a big crush on her. All right. Pink Rangers aside, let's move on to this story.
Sure, please. Yes.
Bay Area Ritz-Carlton in the news. You ever been to a Ritz-Carlton, by the way? You ever been?
I've stayed at one or two, yeah.
I don't think I've ever been to
one. I've stayed at the one in Vegas because it was for a while, it was attached to the... Oh, no, it was the Four Seasons is what was attached to the to Mandalay Bay. Mm. And then that one got switched to the Delano or to one of the two hotels there. No, Ritz-Carlton, I haven't stayed in... I don't think I've actually ever stayed in a Ritz-Carlton.
Now, the fact that I got a question about the Delano, that thing's thematically matches the other. Yeah,
it's part of the same. It's basically, they have three hotels there at Mandalay Bay.
Okay. So that's all like tied together. Area. If you say I'm going to go to Mandalay and let's say all the rooms are filled up in the main two, they'll let you stay in the Delano. Like you can just do
they'll,
that.
Yeah, I think when you pick your room, you'll choose which of the three hotels. And all three have access to the same big-ass pool and all that stuff.
Yeah. I've never stayed there but would like to. Mm-hmm. I've eaten there. I've hung out there. I went to a convention there, but I've never stayed there.
Oh, it's really nice. It's one of the places second to... second to MGM Grand, it's probably the second place I've stayed the most in Vegas is Mandalay. Yeah.
Is Cosmo your favorite? I can't remember. Cosmo's
still my favorite, and I've only stayed there three times or two times, and loved it both times.
Yeah,
it's just expensive, and now that they're fully part of MGM, I might start getting better deals for Cosmopolitan.
Well, yeah, that's a good point. Just don't go during that F1 shiz.
No, not even considering Vegas in November. No.
Y'all want to empty your bank accounts? I got an idea for you. Head to Vegas. Exactly. And I'm not even talking about the gambling part. Just go spend money on hotels.
Just getting a room on the Strip during especially a room that faces the Strip, you're going to pay $500, $600, $700 a night.
Yeah.
Just so for the privilege of watching from a far distance, watching cars drive.
Yeah. That's going to all be photos of celebrities and stuff. That's what that'll be.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
You're going to see like...
Probably not photos of celebrities you care about either.
No.
It's going to be like 11 Real Housewives and Jeff Lewis and... stuff like
could
that.
Could be maybe a Bieber type will be there.
Maybe a Bieber too, yeah.
Or Bieber some, adjacent, Bieber-ish.
Some rapper.
Yeah, some rapper type man. Rapper man. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she or her or...
They, doesn't matter.
Megan Thee Stallion or...
Sure, some kind of Lil thing, you know, L-I-L one something.
One of the Lils, yeah.
One of the Lils will be there.
Either a Lil Bow Wow or a Lil John or a...
How come there's never been a rapper named Terminal Gangster? Or Gangsta. Why doesn't that exist?
Terminal Gangsta?
Yeah, I would... If I had a rap career, Terminal Gangsta. That's what I'm doing. That's what I'm doing. And all that just means I'll perform at airports in the terminals. Okay. Yeah. I don't mean that I'm forever.
I'm sorry, sir. I hate to tell you this, but you've got Terminal Gangsta. you've only got 6 weeks to run.
You got... There's something there.
There's something there, yes.
There's a whole skit there. I don't know what it is yet. anyway, a Bay Area Ritz-Carlton, this is in San Francisco, Bay Area, was sued after a woman was allegedly served, quote-unquote, semen-contaminated water. Okay. I didn't make that term up. It's in the article.
Yeah, it's in the headline right there.
Jane and John Doe of Washington State arrived at the Oceanfront Luxury Half Moon Bay Resort for the weekend of November 18th, 2022. This is a year ago. These court documents are just becoming available. To visit the daughter attending a nearby university for the Thanksgiving holiday and to celebrate Jane's birthday. However, plans were significantly derailed after Jane had a sip of the Ritz-Carlton branded water bottle that was contaminated with semen.
Oh, my God. Ritz-Carlton branded water bottle. Yeah. See, that's why you got to stick with your Dasani or your Aquafina.
Yeah, don't do branded hotel water bottles if you can help it. Like, yeah. I don't know how often they do that when we were at
usually they're working with some other water company and they provide the bottles at a discount and they...
And the reason they're Jane and John Doe is they don't want to identify themselves in the lawsuit. Mm-hmm. They claim they want to avoid harassment, injury, ridicule, and personal embarrassment. I get that. I think it's totally fine. You don't have to have your face out there. Anyway, it's not only the plaintiffs that are unknown, according to the lawsuit, at least 10 defendants are unidentified because the hotel company allegedly refuses to identify employees present that weekend to help the couple and local law enforcement. So it sounds like they may have been sabotaged.
Mm-hmm.
Like they didn't come from the water plant, the bottling plant this way. They were.
Oh, really? So it was sabotage at the hotel.
That's the thinking. The couple realized they were out of water, called the front desk to get more. Moments later, a male employee arrived with at least 5 bottles and had no reason to believe the bottles were tampered with or defiled. Oh, they're defiled. All right.
Yeah, they're defiled. Yeah. Defile that under disgusting.
Yeah, right. What are these people thinking, man? Why would you do that to anybody? Like, what's going through your head where you're like, this would be funny?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's the same people who are just pissed off at the job. And they're just pissed off, you know, oh, these people come in here and they're so rich and they treat me like crap and blah, blah. I'm going to show them kind of thing. Mm. As they have no, you know, they don't know Jane and John Doe. They just basically want to stick it to whoever they see as quote unquote the enemy.
It's so extreme though. Like you could spit in there. I mean, these are all awful options, but you really going to go, you know, hanky pank yourself into a little bit of a frenzy just to get a little bit of hurt into your water and then take it upstairs to Jane and John? Like it just seems like a lot of work.
Really, you just got to make sure it, you know, when you unscrew that cap, just make sure it clicks like it's separating from the little plastic tamper proof deal.
Yeah, there's a reason those little latches are there. Yeah.
It's for semen. It's for no other reason than semen.
It's for to protect you from all those semen that are out there fighting a war.
That's right, exactly.
Anyway.
It's a Navy port at the Bay, Half Moon Bay, Ritz-Carlton.
It looks like they're going to win this, and they'll probably get a big chunk of money. So
Sure.
Boy, I bet they're pissed at that employee.
I wonder if they're going to have to do some DNA testing.
Oh, to find out who it was?
Like have all the employees line up. Fill this cup.
Yep, take this. We've put some materials in there for you.
That's right, exactly, yes.
Like the old stereotype says. All right, that's a fun story. Let's move on to this one.
Sure.
Brian has a couple of cats. Still have two cats?
I do. Still have two cats. Okay. Inara sleeping right there, and yep. Salem hanging out upstairs with Tina. Always does.
She's got a thing for Tina. Cats make nearly 300 different facial expressions.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
This is a brand new
thing. The worst one of those is the one when they smell something funny and they sit there with their eyes wide and their mouth open.
Where they just kind of...
Yeah. Exactly. That's the worst of their 300 facial expressions.
I don't like the gag one either when they like go...
Oh, when they're about to throw up?
Yeah. I don't like that one. Anyway, cats make some... or sometimes get a bad rap for being aloof or not emotive. Compared to dogs, felines tend to be more subtle with how they express themselves. Perhaps a mere flick of an ear or curl of their whiskers. Only sparse studies have tried to decode the mysterious emotional lives of these creatures. But now, it's very dramatic here.
But now, that's all changed.
Researchers have discovered that cats use nearly 300 distinct facial expressions to communicate with one another, according to a study published in October in the journal Behavioral Processes. That must be an exciting page turner. Right?
What'd you read about in the Journal of Behavioral Processes?
Well,
I
took a week off work, and that's all I did was read that book.
I only get it for the comics.
Yeah. I get it for the articles, not the naked cats.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. It says here people still consider cats erroneously to be largely non-social animals, but they say that is absolutely not true. There is clearly a lot going on there that we are not aware of. To collect the data from these furry subjects, researcher Lauren Scott in the University of Kansas Medical Center. I feel like Kansas has come up on the show a lot lately. What's going on with Kansas?
Yeah.
Kansas. Oh.
They're just...
That reminds me, we missed... I don't know if we missed it, but Chloe had a birthday over the weekend. Happy birthday, Chloe.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, wasn't on a regular day. We would have said something, but we'll say it
today.
For
sure. She even got a paper hat.
Oh, I saw that. It was cute.
Yeah.
I resent our old photo of me and you licking her chip, or her licking, or us licking her bag.
The Chipotle chips on the back of her, on the top of her head, yes.
Yeah. I probably shouldn't say the phrase, that time we licked her bag. We probably shouldn't say that.
Probably not. Probably should rephrase that.
Yeah, we're gonna workshop that a bit and bring it back.
Yeah, needs a little bit.
Little
so do they have, like, I want to see a...
You want to see a breakdown, like a list?
I want to see a... bunch of squares, basically like a proof sheet with this expression, this expression, this expression, and see these, you know,
I would
nearly 200.
Because this article only shows a couple. There's one here where it looks all mad, like get out of my shit. This one looks like he's just like, help me, I'm gonna fall.
Right.
I don't see. I want a chart. You're right. I want a visual chart and a description. This one means clean my box. This one means. I barfed or whatever.
Lick my bag. Yeah.
Lick my bag. I don't even think humans have that expression. Maybe we do.
No, maybe not. I guess we need to subscribe to the Journal of Behavioral Processes to get.
We used to, I don't know if you did this in art school or not, but we used to have a professor, and in high school for that matter, we had a teacher who had us do this very thing. They would give us a big grid and they would say, draw. You know, regular, as much detail as you want, but oval, regular faces. Mm-hmm. But you have to do 20 different expressions.
Expressions, sure.
And then we'd get graded on how well we made fear and anger, happiness, laughter, satisfaction.
We had to do the same thing. And it's a really good, for animation, for cartooning, that sort of thing, it is such a great practice.
Yeah, you need expressions, everything in those mediums.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we're so into it. Humans freaking, we love an expression, you know? Like, we need to know if someone's going to puke, we need to see it in their face.
I need to know how frustrated really is Doonesbury at this point.
Yes. You need to be able to look at his face and go, oh, he's so frustrated.
Does Garfield really hate Mondays? Oh, look, I can tell from his expression that he really does.
Exactly. We're wired this way. It's how we survive, damn it.
Yes.
There's that story. That's a fun one. I don't know. If anyone out there can find a link to all these cat faces, I would love to see them. That'd be great. Brian, we got a bit of a Lyft adjacent story for you here.
Sure.
Here, let's just play that.
Make sure I get a 5-star rating, Junior.
All right. So we got a Grubhub story. A little bit different, driving food around, but anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
A Grubhub driver.
Driving people around, according to some people.
Some people do say that that's true. We heard a lot of talk this last week.
We've got quite a few DoorDash/Grubhub/Uber Eats drivers in our audience, and this whole pre-tipping thing, we all agree that it's stupid to have to bribe your driver, and we wouldn't have to if they were paid better by each of those groups.
Yeah, and I think that seemed to be universally true across every piece of response we got. And I'm going to actually jump ahead to a thing that Tom A sent in because it's about this.
Oh, good.
He says about that pre-tipping DoorDash thing. Last week, you were talking about pre-tipping in DoorDash and other delivery apps. I remember back when they first came out, at least one app did do post-tipping, but they charged to, they changed to pre-tipping. This was either Postmates or Grubhub. I think the reason for this is when you go to the restaurant, you get what you, you get and pay the bill. And at the end of the meal, before you leave, you then know to tip. With the delivery apps, you pay first and then you get and eat your meal. Most people forget about the tip then. I did until I opened the app again. This is probably why they changed it to pre-tip.
Sure.
Drivers were probably not getting many tips that way, says Tom. Yeah, I agree.
And I think that there is something to that because I'll get a tip just out of nowhere on Lyft. And I know it's because, they just reopened their app and figured out that they forgot to tip me right when I dropped them off.
Right. And that makes sense.
Which is not a big deal, obviously.
Yeah, it's not a big deal. But I guess it makes sense that once it's done and dusted, you don't think about it anymore. Mm-hmm. And because they come to the door and leave it and just go, there's no other interaction. Like, you're kind of done.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like I'd like to say that I would go out of my way to remember to post tip. But I, if I'm honest, I think I'd forget sometimes. I would just forget. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's the whole reason.
I think, yeah.
It's still weird. Don't you think it's still weird that they'll say, oh, your shit may be cold, though, if you don't tip? That part's still weird.
That's the worst part, is the whole bribery or the whole threat aspect of this is the absolute worst part of it.
Yeah, I hate that. Not good. Yeah. Not good.
No.
All right. Anyway, to this story. Grubhub driver claims delivering cup of urine instead of milkshake was an accident.
Yeah, see, that's just as bad, by the way, as the whole pre-tip thing. Delivering a cup of urine, also bad.
What's worse is you pre-tipped him and still got the cup of urine. That's what sucks. Right.
Oh, my God. Why do we have this and that Ritz-Carlton article today, Scott?
I don't know. It wasn't on purpose. The Ritz-Carlton article carried over for a couple of days, and this one was new. But, boy, aren't we happy they happened in the same day. This is a Utah story, by the way, this guy with the peacoat.
Oh, really? Okay.
Utah man has been left rightfully scarred after he received and sipped from a warm cup of urine at Grubhub delivered in place of a Chick-fil-A milkshake. They wrote the word shudders here in asterisks.
Accurate. Yeah.
Caleb Woods told a local news outlet he ordered fries and a shake from the fast food place via Grubhub. Quote, when I started eating my meal upon delivery, I put a straw to my cup and was delivered. That was delivered and I took a sip, Woods said. I soon discovered that the cup delivered to me from the Grubhub driver was a warm cup of urine.
It's so horrible. Oh, my God.
He said, here's the fun part. He confronted the delivery driver. Part. Yeah, there's a fun part, if you can believe it. If you can believe that the fun part wasn't drinking the pee, boy, have I got good news for you.
Okay.
He confronted the delivery driver who had not yet left. The entire conversation was captured on Wood's home security system, so they have this on video.
Good.
Did you confuse the cups? Because, like, dude, it's a half full of pee, says him to the driver while holding a styrofoam cup in question. Do you realize this is pee? He says. The Grubhub worker admitted to accidentally switching the cups. He said that he relieves himself into a cup in the car because of the long hours he works. Wood says that some of his money was refunded, but he wasn't compensated in full despite the disturbing experience. Now, that seems wrong. I can tell you this. If I ever got something that was just wrong, like they forgot the fries in a...
Sure. Sure.
An order from DoorDash, right, they would pay. They would cover the whole thing. They would say, "Sorry, here's the money back." And then it was credit. Sure. It was credit, not cash. You know, I wasn't getting money back, but I was getting credit toward my next thing.
On your next order, like, sorry about that. Sorry that happened to you. Here's a deal on your next order.
Yeah. So there's no way that should have been all he got is partial compensation.
No, for sure. That's enough to make me stop ordering. You better give me something that makes me feel like, okay, you really do care. Not, we're going to credit you for the milkshake.
It's insane to me. Also, I think this is the video. Hold on, let's see. I kind of want to hear him yelling. Okay, let's see if this is like a news article or something.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Who claims he ordered a milkshake on Grubhub but got a cup full of urine instead. Caleb Wood saying that he ordered a Chick-fil-A sandwich, fries, and a milkshake through Grubhub. Well, when he started eating his meal, he put the straw in his cup and says he took a sip and immediately realized he had gotten a cup of warm urine.
Did you confuse the cups? Because, like, dude, this is it's half full of pee.
Wood going on to say the driver...
it's optimistic.
Half full of pee. Don't
it's
look
half
at
empty
it.
Of milkshake. Yeah, it's half full of pee.
That's the right answer.
Was it in a like so many questions? Was it in a Chick-fil-A cup? Like,
oh, good question. Yeah, they don't. I don't think the video
shows. The container has to look like a Chick-fil-A milkshake container, and this guy. This guy having to, he's working so many hours, he has to pee in a cup. Come on now. Yeah. You're going into restaurants and picking up food. You can use their bathrooms. That's like the best part of Grubhub that, you know, I can't drop somebody off at their house and say, by the way, I'm going to come in and use your bathroom real quick.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, as someone who has peed in a cup. And not just at a doctor's office, but like because I had to go in a car
because you were trapped in traffic down to Vegas.
Yeah, it was bad. So we had to. Kim and I did. And I did it once for I did it for Core one night. Peed in a thing and I didn't want to leave. I didn't want to pause the show. So I peed here, right here on the show. So as someone who's done this, I understand that part of it. By the way, I confirmed the cup is just a plain white styrofoam
cup. Yeah.
And the guy walking up clearly has a Chick-fil-A logo on the cup he's bringing. So he actually realizes what's going on and he's bringing the cup to swap them as if that will solve this problem.
Oh.
It's like, oh, sorry for the pee.
Gotcha. So a follow-up. It wasn't like he was like, it's one of these. I can't tell. I'm going to leave the unmarked urine cup.
I think he might be dumb is all I'm saying.
Jeez.
And, you know, look, I'm not here to besmirch anyone.
I don't care. I don't even want... I don't want this guy handling my food because... There is no way that you are going to pee in a cup in your car and not have some cleanliness issues. You don't have a sink and soap and all that stuff. You probably maybe have some hand sanitizer. That ain't enough for me, man.
Yeah, it's not enough.
It's I don't want this guy. Sorry, I've been driving all day. I was able to tell which one is your Freddy's custard and my pee. Yeah, but you touched my custard cup with your holding your wiener and pointing it into your styrofoam cup hands.
Gosh,
nope, thank you.
Dang it, dude. It's so foul. It's so foul. Yeah. Oh, just something I noticed. He's going out there with the cup. He's got some in there. He's swashing it around and saying, look, this is half full of pee. It's a very dark pee. That guy needs to get looked at.
Oh, geez.
Very dark.
At least he can take that right to the doctor to get it checked out. He doesn't need to go in the separate room and pee in a cup. He's got it. Well, here you go.
Yeah.
This is all day.
Yeah, this is all day. This is. I don't drink a lot of water, as you can tell.
Yeah.
It's just acidic red water. But here's the thing. He doesn't actually use... That video is not his home security system. That's a camera. It's his phone. He's walking out there with his phone.
Oh, so he saw this and he immediately got his phone, went out to talk to the guy. And
yeah,
the guy
which I would have done. Process
of bringing in... Yeah.
I would have done that too. I would have been like, dude.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, I need this on camera. You're going to be in trouble.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's far better than the Ring camera because sometimes they just drop it off at the door. You can say just drop it off at the door and leave. So good thing you had the wherewithal to catch it before the guy left.
Makes me never, ever want to use one of these again. Like, I know that it's not going to be this every time. This is an outlier. I know that. My heart of hearts knows this, but I kind of don't ever want to do it again.
I rarely get anything to drink. If I'm going to do DoorDash or Grubhub or one of those, I get it, and it's usually with the sticker closed bag that is shows if it's been tampered with, right? Like, they actually have to tear the bag or tear that sticker to get in there if they want like one of my French fries or something. But to be honest, it's like I'll just drive. I don't want cold food anyway, whether I tip heavily or not, chances are my fries are not going to be the temperature that I want my fries, which is almost blazing hot. I want hot fries.
Right. Plus you're paying, I don't know, in some cases, $3-4 more for the same meal.
Exactly. Exactly.
Without tip than you would if you just drove a block away and got it.
Exactly. I'll drive. They got plenty of options close by. Yeah. Boom. I'll go.
Yep. You know what? Here's what they should do. Instead of, well, this wouldn't really work, but combine the ideas of Lyft and Uber with Uber Eats and DoorDash. And what you do instead is, let's say Brian in his Lyft car, mm-hmm. you come to my house and I say, mm-hmm. hey, I'm going over to the Taco Bell. And then we go to the Taco Bell and we buy the food and you're just driving. And mm-hmm. then I take it and I go home and all I'm paying for is it's expensive Lyft, isn't it, to do that?
It is, yeah, because it's an out and back, basically. It's like pick up, one stop, drop off. It's the minimum is probably going to be $20.
Yeah, I would think.
Because I'd get two minimums on that, which would be like five something. So you'd probably be paying $20 plus whatever it costs to get the Taco Bell. But I have driven through drive-thrus for passengers before, but it's usually like leaving work late, taking them home. Oh man, can we go through a such and such drive-through and like put in the stop in there, and they put in the stop and we go through the drive-through and it's totally fine.
Gotcha.
And they always, liquor stores, convenience stores, if I take somebody to go get a packet of smokes or a bottle of whiskey or something, they always ask, "Can I get you anything?"
Oh, really?
And I always want to say, "Yeah, give me a handle of Grey Goose, please." Let's make this a $45 offer of yours.
Yeah, because what else are they going to get in there? Like, I guess they get some peanuts.
A bottle of soda.
Well, that's true.
You know, that's what they're really offering is like, need a bottle of water, a bottle of soda or something. They're not offering to get me like a handle of Fireball or something. Yeah.
Give me the most expensive wine they have, sir.
Yeah.
Just to see what he says.
Exactly.
All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Stephen Schleicher joining us. It's his week. And boy, howdy, that means some nerdy stuff on the way. So get ready for that. We need some music, though. Brian, did you bring some?
I brought some, how about Harrisburg, Pennsylvania for this one. Big thanks to Wicked Cool Records for letting me know about it. Brand new single and music video from the band The Jelly Bricks. This is a song called Mondays Never. And if that name sounds really weird, well, listen to the lyrics and it'll make more sense. These guys have made it onto the New Music Daily list on Apple Music and the New Rock playlists. They're also going to be playing the International Pop Overthrow Music Festival on November 11th. This is a music festival that's basically power pop. It's made for people like me who love this kind of music. Let's get to it. From Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, here are the Jelly Bricks and Mondays Never.
Monday's never good for me. Tuesday needs to go away. Wednesday starts to feel okay. Monday's never good for me. Woke up in the gutter with a freight train in my head. Taxied for an hour just to land. Broke up all the cobwebs with a ray of golden. us to land. Monday's never good for me. Tuesday needs to go away. Wednesday starts to feel okay. Monday's never good for me. Monday's never good for me. Tuesday needs to go away. Wednesday starts to feel okay. Monday's never good for me.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
2 weeks detention for thinking you could ever date a goddess like Sigourney Weaver. She won a spoken word Grammy, you piece of shit.
Football time in Tennessee.
It's a little audio from, I'm catching up on Polar or Solar Opposites, finally.
Oh, it's so good. So are you in the season with the new voice yet, or you're
no,
still
I'm still finishing season two. I guess season three is the new voice, right? Or is it four?
Yes, I think that's right. It might be four.
Might be into four already? Not sure.
I think so, yeah.
That show's so well written.
It's great. It really is. And I love the people in the wall storylines.
Oh, it's amazing. They're so good.
They really are good. And freaking Christina Hendricks, Mad Men's Christina Hendricks. This is like
she kills
her jam. She has found her calling and it's playing these characters.
She really has. It's so good. Anyway, hey, Brian, tell us who that was again, that song there.
Yeah, that was the Jelly Bricks from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, with a song, brand new single they just released called Monday's Never.
It's where the American vampires are, Pennsylvania.
In Pennsylvania, right. Yeah. And the Dutch.
And the Dutch. Never, never mention the Dutch. Just kidding.
And Allentown.
Mm-hmm.
Where they're tearing all the factories down.
I used to love that song. I still kind of do. It's still good. I like it.
It's great. It's really good. It's a good historical song.
Major spoilers bringing in some historical nerdiness here to the show. Yeah. Historical levels of nerd on its way.
He will, that Steven Schleicher will go down in history. Did you watch the trailer, by the way, for the new Marvel thing, Echo?
Yes, it looks interesting. And maybe their first M17, or no, M-rated Disney.
MA, yes, rated MA. And the weirdest thing to me, Steven, are you on, by the way?
Yes, and thank you for saying us.
I should do a
continuing
thing.
Continuing with going down in history.
Sorry, I should have played this first.
And now welcome Steven to the show.
He's a real freaking nerd.
Dollar bills, y'all.
Anyway, sorry. So, Brian, continue.
The surprising thing to me was what you see at the very end of it, all episodes streaming in January. So, in other words, they're going to release either all of them at the same time or maybe in two parts or something, but come January 2024, we're getting all the episodes of Echo all at once.
Wow. That's good. That's a Netflix thing to do, isn't it?
Yes. And do we know, Steven, is Barenthal in this?
I have no idea.
Okay. Because the trailer says, you know, no good deed and or no bad deed. And then it pauses, you get some more action shots and then goes unpunished. And it makes me feel like, oh, they're giving a little nuts. And we know we got Kingpin in here.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to get the Punisher.
That'd be cool. I mean, it takes a while to arrange the trailer stuff they need for his ears, though, for Barenthal's ears.
That's right, exactly.
Yeah, that's gonna take some time.
They have very specific M&M requirements. His lobes.
I don't see him listed anywhere.
Okay.
So I don't think he is. It could have just been one of those.
They could be keeping it a secret, though, right? They could.
Yeah, I mean, yes, they definitely could.
Yeah, they did this with, who was it they totally fooled us with and then surprised us when it came out? Something recent.
Darth Vader was Luke's father.
No.
Yeah, I mean, Kingpin and Hawkeye was a big surprise.
Oh, that might have been one of them. What am I thinking of? Yeah. Oh, I might be thinking of Star Wars, Ahsoka and Anakin. I think maybe that was kept really tight to the vest or something.
Hayden Christensen.
So, yeah.
Yeah, so Brian, in regards to all episodes will be released in January.
Yeah.
January has 5 weeks this year, and there are only five episodes.
Oh, there you go. Okay, so there we go. All right.
I figured it was like a 10 or 12 episode show or something. And they would do it.
The five episodes is the shortest one they've done.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, that's pretty short. I don't
unless you count Werewolf by Night, which is one episode.
One really good episode, though. Love that.
Exactly.
All right, Steven, let's get into it. We're going to talk today about Crisis at Marvel because there's a crisis and it's causing quite a stir. Why?
Yeah. Is there, though? Listen, you crank out so much. So there's this article, this front page article that they had at Variety or Hollywood Reporter. I forget. They're both owned by the same company. So everybody who doesn't realize that, they are owned by the same trash company.
I did not know that. That's news to me.
Yeah, so. They made that purchase like 3 or 4 years ago and quietly didn't say that Scripps or whoever is the main company owns both of them now. Just kind of keep that in mind anytime now that you're reading stuff on Variety. And it's really funny, too, because, you know, they were doing all this bending over backwards stuff for the studios during the Writers Guild strike. And now suddenly they put out this big hit piece. That's also something to question. But the article is going on about, look at all the woes and the troubles that Marvel is in. They haven't had a hit in a long time. And they've got this problem going on with Majors, who is Kang the Conqueror and the stuff. And it's like, what are they going to do? And it's like, so here's the other thing. They talk about this big summit in the comic. And DC have annual summit.
Yeah.
Oh, so I was going to say Marvel and DC have annual summits every year for their comic book big arcs that they're going to do and kind of work together to kind of put something together. So for Marvel Studios to do something like this doesn't seem out of place, but it's just like all they're doing is trying to figure out how to pull up from this nosedive. And I mean, you guys were just talking about Echo. That Echo trailer dropped and everyone is going nuts for it. There's a bit in here about they had to pay $25 million for an episode of She-Hulk. Gee, I wonder which one that was. Was that the one that had Mark Ruffalo and Daredevil Charlie in Cox. It? And and Tatiana Maslany and all of the special effects?
That's right. Vincent D'Onofrio didn't appear in that one. Yeah,
it seems a little obvious.
It is just so... Well, Ant-Man didn't perform well. Yes, but what else did perform well? It's so bad. So here's the thing. You're going to have good stuff. Sometimes you're going to have bad stuff.
Mm. Yeah. It's a bummer because I really like, and this kind of goes back to the Hollywood Reporter versus Variety. Variety always does feel like it's their opportunity. It's THR's opportunity to be more sensational. I feel like Hollywood Reporter articles are not, they're more factual and like, here's what's going on. Here are the numbers. Here's how all of these different MCU things are performed. But Variety goes, why is Marvel in such a free fall? And how are they ever going to recover from this? And,
there's a lot of hyperbole going on with that stuff, but it's also easy to look at this and realize they really are in a weird, like, I wouldn't call it a rebuilding phase, but they're in a funky place.
Well, and I think this is true for any major company right now that is in media. Fortunately, many podcasters, not all podcasters, but when we went through COVID, we also had to step up and perform. And now look at how many people are like, oh, guys, the last couple of years just been too stressful for me. I got to take a step back. So Marvel is in the same position, too. They were forced by Disney to step up with all this programming during COVID and also to promote their streaming service. And some of it was forced. Some of it was rushed. They hadn't figured out what they really wanted to do with their TV stuff. Now that they do, they're going to do a TV model instead of a movie model. It's just some of these things that are taking a little bit of time for them to get used to. Now, does this mean that Marvel isn't in a free fall? No, this is just my opinion. And people who are like, no, Marvel sucks now. go ahead. Just go ahead and say what you want to say. But yeah. I just see this as a lot of rabble rousing trash stuff from a trash mag. And it's just oddly timed is my big thing. Is this is an oddly timed article.
Yeah.
Especially with the Marvels coming out. Yeah. This week. I think it's Thursday. This week. Yeah, this week.
Weekend, right?
And people are like, the last Captain Marvel movie made $1 billion, people. Mm-hmm. So it's not like that movie sucked.
No, I'm sure this. I actually am really excited about this one.
Me too.
I'm not going to rush out and see it in theaters, but I think that their pre-sales on tickets are. That's the looming threat, right? It's like, well, pre-sales have been really in the tanker, and I would say, well, maybe that's true. It doesn't mean this is going to be a bad movie. Like, I just think people are just a little bit. Maybe they're just a little fatigued. I am. Yeah, I'm a little fatigued on Marvel.
Certainly there is some fatigue, yes.
I'm a little fatigued on Marvel movies right now. I'll admit it. And it's not that I hate it or going to take some weird stand or publish an article like these weirdos. I'm just a little bit like, okay, I feel like I've seen it all. I'm all right.
Their misstep, I think, was introducing too many new properties all at once. They really should have sprinkled in, because really we got another Ant-Man, we got another Thor, we got another Doctor Strange. But before that, it was Shang-Chi, Eternals, Ms. Marvel. Like, it was all of these all in a row, new character introductions. And I feel like you need to have, hey, we really still love the characters that we've introduced, that the ones that haven't died. So we're gonna bring them back for another movie while we introduce these other characters.
And that's another weird thing. I run a site that covers a lot of this stuff, but I hate websites that cover this stuff, because it's like, there's one paragraph that was like, during the get together, they wondered if they should bring back dead characters for another movie. And it's like, every website runs with this. Are they bringing back Tony Stark? Oh, Marvel must be in trouble if they got to bring back Tony Stark.
Right.
No, it's probably like one of these things where, again, in a group meeting where you're just like, hey, you think we should do the Marvel thing and we bring back dead characters? And everybody's like, no. And then they just moved on. And now suddenly it's blown up to this big thing.
Yeah, that's, I don't like that either. I don't like that kind of hyperbole on any stuff, especially any my nerd publication. Pursuits.
Yeah,
it pisses me off. But okay, so Steven, let me ask you this. If you this has been something people have brought up to me, I want to hear your take on it. And Brian's
okay.
I think we talked about it, but still Brian, pipe in. Sure. This idea that for me to go see Marvels, just to keep it in the what's opening this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And really truly be invested in it. You have to watch two other shows and a movie to go in there. Whereas, another movie just comes out, it's self-contained, it is what it is, you don't have to worry about it. But Ms. Marvel joining the thing, what's her name, Monica, is it Monica?
Right, Rambo. WandaVision.
From WandaVision, and then you got,
and she was also in the first Captain Marvel movie, too, so.
Well, that's true, yeah. That's true. Oh, that's a good point. Yeah.
But not as an adult, though.
Does it feel like some people have said to me, I've heard people say, or they've written into the show and said, this feels like homework I don't necessarily have time for.
Wow. How many movies did people have to see to go watch Endgame?
Or, did people say, oh man, I really want to see the new Lord of the Rings movie, but I haven't watched The Two Towers or Fellowship of the Ring. Oh,
you mean I have to read The Silmarillion before I go and watch The Two Towers?
I mean, look, I think I could probably I have seen all this stuff now leading up, but if I hadn't, I still think I could go in and have a good time. I think maybe that's also got a little hyperbole in it, but I think it's a combination of things.
People look at all the blue check marks that are screaming those things out. So,
well, some of them are direct DMs on my Discord. So, I don't want to make them into Elon hugging weirdos. but anyway, we'll see what happens. I guess we just have to. In a lot of this stuff, we just have to kind of put our head down and wait. Right? We can't do anything until the stuff comes out and speaks for itself.
Exactly.
Let it stand on its own feet. Yeah.
And Loki's been great. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, I think, was a lot more fun than Ant-Man and the Wasp and Thor: Love and Thunder. So, for as much of a thud as the end of Doctor Phase Strange. 4 and the beginning of Phase 5 was, because Secret Invasion was also like, okay.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to Marvels. I'm looking forward to Captain America: Brave New World, Echo, all this stuff. Let's make it... let's make MCU great again.
Let's do it. do it. Let's do it. It still works. Yeah. You can still do MAGA. It's just you're just MCU instead of no. It's you're that's right. MAGA.
It's, no, no. It's MAGA. It's MM. It's MUMGA.
MUMGA. I'll buy that hat in a heartbeat. Don't make it red though. If you make it red, I'll get targeted. We can't have that.
No, can't have that. You'll wear it.
Yeah. Let's move on to this. DC Comics announced digest size trades. So we're talking like little bitty, like the old school ones, right? Is that what this is?
Well, no, this is more like manga sized, almost manga sized, slightly larger than manga size. This is a trade paperback size that are 5.5 by 8.5 inches. Mm-hmm. So this is supposedly going to fit easier in your backpack and maybe will remove the stigma of you reading a comic book in public if that's what you're really worried about, I guess. The problem that I have is they're not actually trimmed to manga size, which is typically 5 by 7.5. So it's slightly larger to that. So if they're trying to compete for that bookshelf space, it's still going to look odd to have this one series of books just stand up a little higher and deeper than your traditional manga. But I get the idea, and I think it's a really good thing. So they're going to start off with Watchmen, Batman Court of Owls, All-Star Superman, Far Sector, Wonder Woman Earth 1, American Vampire Book 1, Batman Hush, Joker, Harley Quinn and Gotham City Sirens, and Catwoman Trail of the Catwoman. Hmm. Those are all the books that'll begin launching in June of next year. And I think that these all have enough of an interest that people might be able to pick them up, especially because they're going with that compact size. They're definitely aiming at a younger audience for these.
Yeah, seems like. My only problem is it's going to be smaller text, and that's not getting any easier for me to read.
No, exactly. That
I just said they're targeting young readers, not old yeah, people.
Definitely not targeting us. Remember the Marvel had them, and it was like Spider-Man versus Superman was this big.
Oh yeah, it was oversized.
Oversized.
What do they call them? Not gallery editions, but something along those lines. No,
something like that. Yeah, and I'm sure I remember the name. But yes, those were great.
Yeah, I like those. Were. Alex Ross did a couple of DC things, Batman.
Well, and DC and really all the publishers for a long time did the archive editions, which were almost double the size of a regular comic, like the Silver Age series that I told you to buy a long time ago, Scott.
Yeah.
That was in that oversized edition. So yes, comics for everybody, comics for all sizes.
Yeah. Everybody find the size that fits you. All right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Finally, Futurama.
I hope this plays out. I honestly hope that this gimmick plays out for them and that a bunch of younger readers are willing to pick up something because it's sitting next to Hunter x Hunter or, you know, a Death Slayer or Demon Slayer or whatever the kids are reading these days.
Yeah, let's win some of these. Let's make them read left to right again like normal. Let's get that going.
We got to change them is what you're saying.
Yeah, let's change them. Futurama renewed for 2 more seasons for now. There may be more after that, but people generally have enjoyed this latest thing, the Hulu revival, and I'm happy to hear it. This is great.
So they 26 episodes, I believe, for the next 2 seasons. I'm questioning, though, you know, they make this announcement now, what's going on with Hulu? Disney is exercising its option to buy out Hulu completely. After they've finished that acquisition, are they still going to honor this this agreement? Or are they going to say, we need to rethink this?
Or any agreements for that matter.
It's not Futurama is not 20th Century Fox owned. It's Matt Groening owned.
Yeah.
So they could very much say, yeah, we don't want to continue on with this.
Yeah, they could turn it down, I suppose. And that wouldn't be new to Futurama. Futurama gets told this every couple of years and then they find a new home and relaunch things. So
I don't know what you guys think about that. If that is something that is a concern, that if this Disney deal goes through, which it probably will, $8.6 billion or whatever it is, if suddenly Disney is like, yeah, I know you said we were doing that, but that was under old ownership. This is new ownership.
I feel like one of the strengths of Hulu is their animation lineup. And
definitely.
I think it would be a big mistake for them to do this, to get rid of it or to not honor that once Disney does full takeover. And I really hope it hangs around. I like that service for a lot of they have archival stuff on there that's ancient. They got the whole Adult Swim's over on HBO on Max, but all the like Viacom stuff, I want to say SpongeBob is there in perpetuity. I mean, there's, you know, King of the Hills where I get that. Used to get Simpsons there, that moved, but yeah, like keep it on there. Disney, Bob Iger, just calm down, dude. You got, this is Futurama here. Don't cancel. Don't be one of the many executives who decided to kibosh that show only to see it rise again and gain in popularity. Don't be that guy. All right. Well, if you want stories like this and more over at majorspoilers.com, well, then just go there. That's just as easy as putting that in your little web browser there. You got Netscape yep. Navigator. You got Internet Explorer. Try either of those browsers. They'll get you in. Hey, sure. Steven, anything else going on in your little space over there you'd like people to know about?
Hey, listen, it doesn't matter whether you're trying to get a warm milkshake or you're trying to get an ice cold drink. Get your fill of the hydration with nice warm water or cold water.
Yeah.
It just depends on which one you want to go for. If it smells weird, please don't drink it.
But what if he comes to the door and you think it's what you think it is? Actually, you know what the lesson is? Always look in there and check.
Always look.
I just don't. There's so much wrong with that story, Scott. It's like the driver was still there after he'd already taken a drink of this supposed pea shake. And it's like, wait a minute. How long is someone going to park outside your house for you to set your milkshake down, get out the straw, put the straw in, and then take a drink and then go, whoa, this is pee.
Yeah.
First of all, you're going to spend 5 minutes throwing up and then you're going to go to the door and see if the guy is still out there.
Yeah, there's something. Right. The whole thing's got weird, fishy connections on it. The whole thing about not getting a full refund sounds fishy.
I question the whole journalistic integrity of Utah.
Yeah, maybe the local news got punked by this guy. I don't know.
I think they did.
They might have. I don't know.
They have video, though. Video proof.
We got video. It's always proof.
Let's see him take a drink of the pee, and then I'll believe it.
Yeah, sip the pee, buddy. All right. You stay hydrated as well. Bye. It's a great way of saying stay hydrated.
Yes, for sure.
It's going to do it for today's programming. I would like to mention that our Patreon is in the throes of a new month. It's already the 6th, but it's early enough to get in here, man. Get in. Yeah. Get in and be a part of things. Also, this is another thing. I'm just going to mention it now because we had a bit of a game show today. But on Wednesday, when we do Tadpooley Feud, we pull in somebody live from the chat room. We're looking for new people this week. We want to see some new faces. Because right now it's like the same 5 people all pop up.
That's right. We love you. You know, we love the fact that you like to play the games. But if you've been like, oh, I don't know if I want to hear my voice online or blah, blah, blah. Don't worry about it. And also, come on, we're the 3 of the nicest guys ever, me, Scott, and Brian.
Yeah, so. We're never going to give you any crap. You're going to be great no matter what. Exactly. And look, there's, you know, sometimes 300 or so people in here for the show. Mm-hmm. I know. When you're here watching live, that there are more than 5 of you. So just think about it in the next day or so. Make it easy. Get into Discord if you haven't already. So, you know, we've got a hookup in there. Frogpants.com/Discord and be a bigger part of it. You want to know more about our Patreon? Go to patreon.com/TMS. And a giant thanks to everybody who already supports us there. You can find everything else at frogpants.com/TMS. If you're confused, don't know, whatever. Oh, other quick note. Dungeon Murders, our packages are arriving. People are getting them. Had a couple of tiny rules questions that have been popping up. I'm going to be putting a complete web-based rules thing up on the website at dungeonmurder.com. It's not there yet, but it will be. And when I do, I will put in any questions I get that are like, oh, yeah, that might have been good to have it in there. We'll add to the web rules so people can have access to it. Oh,
cool. Smart. Yes, you need to have one of those watch it played things. Did you send a review copy to that guy that Dan Patrice and I always talked about? Today we're gonna be learning how to play the game Dungeon Murder.
I fell asleep during the emails. The problem with that guy. Just kidding. He's fine. Yeah. I probably ought to do a let's play video just so everybody can see it. But anyway, I'm just really excited that it's arriving and the people are getting it, and production took forever, but we're really happy to know it's shipping. Anyway, that's it for today's show. Brian, would you like to end things with a bit of a song selection deal?
So totally would. This one's going out to our friend Red Fraggle. Amy wrote in, said, good morning, Scott and Brian. November the 7th this year will mark my daughter Julia's 17th birthday.
Let's party!
The kids get the rock and roll, man.
Yeah, they do. I have no idea where all the time has gone, but I continue to love being her mom and discovering the unique person she is becoming. This year, she's raising money to go on an educational trip to Europe, and I would love to support her efforts. If anyone would like to throw her a few dollars to help with help her have that amazing experience, she and I both appreciate it so much. The URL for anyone would like to donate is tinyurl.com/juliabug, JULIABUG, all lowercase. That's again tinyurl.com, Julia Bug. To celebrate a birthday, I'd like to hear a cover of Pink's Effing Perfect. Can I get a honk, ah, and a You Can Eat Rice? Thanks, friends. Love the show, though.
Yes, so honk, ah.
Honk, ah.
Hold on, not that one. That guy, there's the one. And okay. Then what was the other one? You Can Eat Rice?
You Can Eat Rice.
Okay, we got it here.
Then you can eat rice!
I'm getting better at finding these.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Now, I searched. There are versions, covers that are clean and versions that have the F-bomb. And the cover songs I listened to when I was picking this out, it's like, oh, I like this one, but it's got the F-bomb. So I'm going to let you all know right now. If you're listening to this with kids, you listen to this at work and you've got it cranked up, this might be a good time for headphones. This is a cover of Effing Perfect by Pink, and it's covered by Caitlin Hart on an album that I was really happy to discover because of this, called Cover Stories. And she's got a lot of really good covers on this thing. So I'm totally digging Caitlin Hart, digging her voice. Here is her cover of Pink's Effing Perfect.
See you guys tomorrow.
Made a wrong turn once or twice, dug my way out, blood and fire. Bad decisions, that's alright. Welcome to my silly life. Mistreated, misplaced, misunderstood. Miss, no way, it's all good. It didn't slow me down. Mistaken, always second guessing. Underestimated, look, I'm still around. Pretty, pretty, please, don't you ever, ever feel like you're less than fucking perfect. Pretty, pretty, please, if you ever, ever feel like you're nothing, you're fucking perfect to me. You're so mean when you talk about yourself, you were wrong. Change the voices in your head, make them like you instead. So complicated, look happy, oh, make it. Filled with so much hatred, such a tired game. It's enough, I've done all I can think of. Chased down all my demons, I've seen you do the same. Pretty, pretty, please, don't you ever, ever feel like you're less than fucking perfect. Pretty, pretty, please, don't you ever, ever feel like you're nothing. You're fucking perfect to me. Fucking perfect to me.
Get more at frogpants.com.
And your charisma could get a walnut pregnant.
Whoa.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.